Welcome to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, CFRO. You're listening to Wake Up with Co-op. My name is Reg Ardu. And for this morning's guest, we have as our first guest, Lou Moore. He's the National Campaign Manager for Ron Paul's presidential campaign in the United States. A resident of Washington State, he was a founder and former director of the Northwest Straits Commission, an award-winning citizen-based environmental initiative in the Puget Sound. Moore has also served for 5.5 years as Chief of Staff to Congressman Jack Metcalf and taught American history at Western Washington University. Hello, Moore.
Hi.
And the first question I have for you, Lou, is during the Bush administration, the United States has seen corporate corruption and collapse like Enron, WorldCom, and others, which has seriously affected the economy of the United States and other parts of the world, including Canada. The United States has also witnessed the illegal war in Iraq, New Orleans, outsourcing of jobs to Asia and other nations, which has turned the United States into an economical shell of its former self. And now ordinary people in the U.S. are in danger of losing their homes or have family and friends who have been affected by the subprime mortgage fiasco. With this said, I have two questions for you. The first part is, how has Ron Paul proposed to fix Bush administration's corporate corruption and hold the ones accountable in the court of law who have misappropriated large amounts of money from the American people? And the second part of this question is, how has Ron Paul proposed to return ordinary Americans back to work and to stop the outsourcing of jobs to other nations?
Well, as far as your first question, as far as WorldCom and these problems, I mean, those were significant scandals. They're best handled in the courts. However, if people are breaking laws that already exist and they're absconding with money or misrepresenting themselves or doing insider trading or any number of these things that have plagued some of the corporations in this country, that's best dealt with in the legal system. As far as what Congressman Paul has advocated in terms of helping middle-class Americans or helping all Americans be more prosperous, he's advocated the only thing that's going to bring prosperity, which is individual liberty. I mean, the more the government intervenes and tinkers and experiments and engages in social engineering on our population and diminishes our national sovereignty and our personal sovereignty, the less prosperity we're going to have. And we have a perfect example here in the last few days. The Federal Reserve System dumps hundreds of billions of dollars into the money supply, ostensibly to help the current economic crisis. But what it's doing is degrading the value of the dollars in the pocket of every American, making them worth less. It's just going to cause more problems. It's just going to create another bubble or a worse bubble than the one we have now. So overall, I mean, we could talk about different issues, but overall, Dr. Paul believes very fervently that we need to give people more freedom to act for themselves.
Right now, there's 200,000 to 400,000 homeless vets in the U.S. each year, and over 20% of the U.S. vets committing suicide this past year. I have seen an environment where vets have been discarded. And I would like to ask, how has Ron Paul suggested to deal with this tragic situation where so many young men and women are lost right before everyone's eyes?
Well, that's a very complex problem, and there are several things need to happen. Probably one of the first things that needs to happen is the United States needs a new foreign policy where we don't go off onto these overseas adventures where there's no clear mission, where it's very dangerous, but there's no clear outcome that these people can even look to, and oftentimes they realize we're in places we shouldn't be as a nation. And a lot of your homeless vets are folks that are psychologically damaged in these conflicts. That being said, Dr. Paul has always believed that one of the proper roles of government is national defense and to take care of our veterans. And it's a disgrace that the condition we've allowed our veterans' hospitals to get in, the lack of service and care that's available to veterans. I was very involved myself with Congressman Metcalf several years ago in Washington State with folks who were the victims of Gulf War illnesses, which for years the Pentagon called a psychological problem. It's only very recently that they've admitted that, in fact, these people either were exposed to depleted uranium, or there's more than one theory. They still don't have it nailed down what happened. But what was not happening was that the government was not taking care of these folks. And Dr. Paul believes very strongly that that's a primary role of our government to do that.
Yeah, and also as a veteran of the Canadian Forces, I would like to see this situation straightened out, because I look upon all vets and current military members serving in the military at this time as a part of a gigantic brotherhood and sisterhood. And even though I don't support the ideas of war, I still support the troops, and I'm someone who believes strongly that all troops should be removed back to home where they belong. And therefore, the troops should be put in place, just as what you were pointing that Dr. Paul also agrees with. And my next question is how is Dr. Paul proposed to pay down the massive debt of the almost $10 trillion and to put the monetary system value back in the greenback?
Well, he would approach that on two fronts. One, we cannot keep overspending as a nation year after year with the budget deficits that we have annually that then translate into this large overall debt that you're talking about. You know, politically, it's not going to be realistic to cut a number of the programs that Dr. Paul would probably consider cutting. But one place where I think we could achieve a political consensus in the United States to do cutting is this tremendous amount of money that we're spending overseas. We're spending now upwards of $1 trillion a year in an overseas empire. We're in 130 countries. We've got, you know, 13 huge military bases that we're in the process of constructing in Iraq. We're building an embassy in Iraq that is larger than the Vatican in Rome. And I think the vast majority of the American people do not believe we should be doing any of these things. That there, again, there's a proper role for defense, there's a proper time for the country to defend itself, but to project power, as they say, into all these various countries is not good foreign policy, and it's certainly not good financial policy when that's, upwards of a third of our expenditures when you add the defense outlays to the other monies that we're spending overseas. So America is a government. It needs to come home. It needs to free the people of America to have free trade, free relations with people all over the globe, and be the shining city on the hill that we were supposed to be, an example to other nations, but not a policeman with a big billy club.
And what is Dr. Paul's thoughts on how the Bush regime has given itself a presidential pardon for all the war crimes and other crimes that they have committed during their time in office?
Well, the Constitution says the president has the right to pardon. So he has the right to do that. I'm not prepared to go into case by case with you, but there have been some pretty sketchy pardons undertaken not just by this president, but by the last few presidents, and some argument could be made that that power has been abused, but it is a power that's invested in the Constitution.
And what about the recently there was a Veteran Disarmament Act that was passed whereby it said that any veteran in the United States who has a PTSD is not allowed the right to bear arms, which is throwing the Second Amendment out the window for these brave people that serve for United States of America.
Yeah, you know, that's a McCarthy bill is the one you're talking about. Actually, Dr. Paul is the only member of either the House or the Senate that raised any objection to that bill at all, and he was totally opposed to it because of, for the reason you stated, that it was a blanket denial of that basic constitutional right as we view it here in America, and so he was opposed to that.
And also, during the Bush administration, what I've noticed and other people have noticed is that the Bush regime has gotten rid of attempted to get rid of the Fourth Amendment, the First Amendment, and even the Eighth Amendment, and has repeatedly ignored the U.S. Constitution. How would Dr. Paul propose to return back to the U.S. Constitution and to throw out these oppressive laws which have been passed by the Bush regime and allow the power back in the American people's hands, where Abraham Lincoln a long time ago said that democracy is of the people, for the people, and by the people?
I think we need to be a little bit cautious. The intrusion upon the civil liberties of Americans did not start with the Bush administration. It's been going on for a long time, and it's covered both of our two parties that trade off in power in this country. And it's not just a problem of the current administration. That being said, we need a leader in Washington, D.C. that is principle-based, which is not something we've had for an awful long time. And the principles that Dr. Paul espouses are those found in the Constitution, limited government, civil liberties, et cetera. And so what he would do would be rescind executive orders that violate the spirit of the letter of the Constitution, and would work to get the Congress to reverse some of the legislation that's been passed. I mean, the president's not all powerful. He can't wave a wand and reverse all of the policies of our government when the courts are involved, when the Congress is involved, but certainly take a lead and not advocate in any way the torture, the suspension of habeas corpus, the bulk monitoring of electronic communications, the throwing out of the legal principle of probable cause. All of these things need to be reinstated. Basically, the Patriot Act needs to go away, and we need to return to that Bill of Rights that has been such a wonderful thing for America.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Lou. In closing, could you quickly give some contact information and a website where our listening audience can go to read up more on Dr. Paul?
You bet. Just go to ronpaul2008.com.
And is there an email that people can send messages to that they can ask for more information to be sent to them?
Yeah, to info@ronpaul2008.com.
Well, thank you very much, Lou. I greatly admire Dr. Paul, and I agree with a bunch of what he's saying. And thank you again for coming on. That was Lou Moore, who was the campaign manager for Ron Paul for presidential campaign in the United States of America. This is Wake Up with Co-op, 102.7 FM, CFRO. We are now going to go on to our next guest, which is Betty Croswick. Are you there, Betty?
Yes.
The first question I have for you, Betty, is could you describe 3P policies and what is the difference between your proposed 3Ps and Campbell's government's 3Ps?
Well, as you are aware, I'm sure that the Campbell government's 3Ps are simply public-private partnership, which sounds really good, that the public's going to be in partnership with private money, but actually it's the other way around. It's our public money. Our public money gets siphoned off through these private partner, public partnerships. They get they just get drained dry by the private part of this partnership. It's simply a way that private money can suck up public money and then retain the ownership of whatever the project is in private hands. So, and the Workless Party concept of 3Ps is to, they're all three public, and that's public health with all that that would imply in terms of housing. People can't be healthy if they have no place to live or if they're spending the vast majority of their money on rent or mortgage. And, of course, it would include hospital care, long-term care of children, just health in general. We need this to be totally public. The second of our public P is education. People can't be healthy. We can't go forward as a city unless the people that we have in the city, in the province, have educations. And education now is increasingly becoming a two-tiered thing where university fees are just so terrible that only the wealthy are going to be able to go, and indeed are able to go now. And we need a different student ratio. We need special education teachers return. We need all the programs that makes kids into well-rounded citizens return, the music programs, the art programs. We need daycare also included within the concept of public education. We have to get private education out of public funds. And the third private that we want to be absolutely public is our public waters, which means public energy, which means public land surrounding our waters, that means public watersheds, that means public fisheries. We can't have a situation where our very source of life is privatized, and that's what's happening right now, is the Campbell government is seeking to privatize our streams, our waters, our lakes, our rivers through this scheme they have going with private companies, where they, at the end, the companies will wind up owning the power supply, and they absolutely say so over how the rivers and the fisheries in the rivers are managed. This is an awful thing, and I was very interested in your last speaker talking about the situation in the States, because this is exactly what Harper is trying to do, and what Campbell has succeeded in doing in large part is it's governed by counsel, by his counsel. They are the government, and the legislature is no longer the government. The people no longer have input into their privatizing schemes, and they don't, in my opinion, I'm not sure they actually really care whether or not they would be returned to office. They just want to wipe out the public part of the financial riches and the environmental riches of this province before they go. That's what they want to do, and what they're very well doing, unless we wake up in time and stop them.
And looking back last year, there was a report put out which suggested that HIV rate per capita in East Hastings here in Vancouver was on par with Botswana, an African nation. Also, United Nations and even famous people like Dan Rather spoke out against the horrendous conditions in East Hastings. With your current campaign for Vancouver mayor, what are your proposals to help clean up East Hastings and provide proper housing and counseling for the homeless throughout East Hastings and other parts of Vancouver? You briefly touched on that with your three Ps. Could you further expand upon that, please?
Well, of course, this all falls under the category of health. And there is one issue here that politicians don't really address because they're afraid of it, and that is the horrendous hold that the drug cartels have over the people on the east side. Unless we look at the drug issue and find a way to deal with it in a realistic manner, it will just go on as it's been going on, because there is so much money involved. There are horrendous amounts of money involved in the drug trade. And if we're going to fight disease, if we're going to fight poverty, if we're going to fight all of the evils that that poverty brings, along with it, this horrendous drug culture, we have to look at the drug itself. Why is there so much money in it? Why has it become a worldwide problem? Why does it settle right down here in Vancouver's east side? Because there is so much money in it, because it's illegal. In my opinion, we have to look at legalizing drugs before we can get the sickness out of our province before we can get any sense into how police operate, how our laws operate, how we're going to take care as a city, as a province, of all of the cities, all of the citizens in this province, then we have to look square into the eye of the drug trade and not flinch from it. Bush's war on drugs is a total failure. It's making addicts every day. The drug pushers, they hunt schoolyards, they hunt places where children congregate, where young adults congregate. It's become a thing that's supposed to be smart, that's supposed to be cool, the pimp culture, the entire edifice that surrounds the ways in which people's health break down under the inability to cope with all of these pressures. I know about HIV. I've been in prison over 3 years of accumulated time for environmental disputes, shall we say. And I've seen in prison the rate of HIV grow from the first time I was incarcerated in 93 to last year. It's just grown enormously. The number of women who in prison are now infected with HIV or who have AIDS. So we have to look at this as such a profound problem that we must approach it on all sides, on how to bring all of the citizens of Vancouver and British Columbia into a situation where people are working on health. If we can't tend to the health of the people of this province of Vancouver, we can't tend to anything. What? And the concept that this government has of privatization of the health care, of trying to have, it's like the police, you know,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Betty. We're running out of time. We have to wrap it up because the next show is coming on.
Okay.
We have about 30 seconds. Could you quickly tell the listening audience what website to go to get more information? Because what you're talking about is very important for people to check out. And, you know, I'm really sorry about this, but we only have about two minutes left.
I know. Okay. Just my email is Betty. _Croswick@shaw.ca, and my blog is Betty's Early Edition at blogspot.com.
Thank you very much, Betty.
Thank you.
And again, we enjoyed talking to you. And what happens is, we look forward to you when you're elected as mayor of Vancouver. You're going to bring about many changes. And that's been Betty Croswick.
Thank you, dear.
This has been Wake Up with Co-op, 102.7 FM, CFRO. Just the only message I'd like to leave people with is just get informed and have a chance to check out the information on the guests that were on this morning. They have an awful lot of information to tell that people should start looking into. It'll really open your eyes. Thank you very much, and have a beautiful day.